On the 100th anniversary of the declaration of Christ the King, in approximately 1 month, a worldwide Eucharistic procession is going to take place beginning in Derry, Ireland. Now, that city, because of the persecution that they've experienced from Protestant England, has experienced incredible evil, especially centered around the River Foyle. In fact, hundreds, if not thousands of people have jumped into that river, taking their own lives. The Eucharistic procession will go around the city, but then focus there, and it will actually travel on the water precisely to deliver that river from its evil and the souls in purgatory that are there. They also seek to bring about conversion of hearts so that more people can come to believe in Jesus' presence in the Eucharist. Some weeks ago, I had the opportunity to interview Barry, who is one of the people helping to organize this procession. Listen to what he had to say.
Friends, we have a familiar friend with us, Barry from Ireland, telling us about some of the amazing things happening in Ireland. Once again, this Eucharistic procession. So without further ado, tell us everything about it, Barry. Tell us some of the things that are happening over there.
Avril, always a pleasure to come back on the channel. Thank you so, so much. It's great. We were just speaking there before we came on air. They say it's been a while since we've done a wee interview. I can't remember the last interview we've done. I think it was for Wham, was it? That much has happened since February. Maybe it was Athlone. Was it for Athlone? I can't even remember. We've got that much going on since you last flew over here. Was February? No, you were here in February for the Eucharistic procession, but then you were back then about 2 months ago for 2 weeks holidays with us. That's right.
Yeah. It was great to see all that, especially for the procession in February, to see all the things that God was doing there.
That was amazing. Like, we had yourself, Robert Nugent, we had Mark McLean flew over from Scotland. The beauty about the procession in February this year, like I keep saying last year because it seems like it was as if it was a year ago, but so much has happened since February. We did, for your viewers that don't know, we organized, the committee here, Come Follow Me in Ireland, organized the first worldwide Eucharistic procession. It happened on the Feast of St. Bridget on the 1st of February, and it had 5,000 people turn up to it. But the most beautiful thing about it was it ended up in 70 parishes across 6 continents, which was mind-blowing to see it actually come together. It was absolutely powerful. Then from that, we had then another procession through Brian and Cairn in Athlone in the centre of Ireland in March. Then there was another procession then in Dublin then too as well. And now we have just organised the second worldwide Eucharistic procession, which is going to happen on Sunday, the 23rd of November, the end of the liturgical year, and it's on the Feast of Christ the King. But the significance of this year is not only is it, one, going to go global again, but two, that it's the 100th anniversary of the Qua Primus. The Qua Primus is Pope Pius XI in December 1925, penned the first encyclical for the feast day of Christ the King. So from 1925 to 2025, this November is the 100th anniversary of Christ the King. And as we keep saying, when the rest of the world shouts out, "No king but Caesar," we're shouting out in Ireland, "There's only one king, and that king's Christ the King." And we're organizing the second worldwide Eucharistic procession for our sons, Alvaro, for our sons, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a really beautiful thing, because as you were explaining that, I was thinking that I think a lot of people, no matter who is president or king of their country, I think a lot of people are disappointed with their leadership, because it's just human leadership, whether they're conservative or liberal. I think everyone doesn't like whoever is leading them because of cost of living or immorality or other issues. And so I think maybe it's like ripe for this idea that we don't want this or that person as king or president. We want Christ as king.
Definitely. Well, if you take a look too as well at the powers to be, like what they call the synagogue of Satan and the powers to be, their whole aim always has been, since time immemorial, was divide and conquer, keep them separated, arguing against themselves. And that's prevalent in, you know, nearly every country around the world. I I genuinely don't know one country in the world where Christ the King is honored, recognized, and by any legitimate government fully. Because if it was, there wouldn't be so much disharmony as there is now. And the aim of this procession is, one, to give global recognition to Christ the King, but also then to hopefully not push it more towards our local governments in the north of Ireland, the south of Ireland, which are pagan. You know, there's no others, like, they're secular, but they are pagan. And all that comes back from, really stems from the, the French Revolution from 1798. After the French Revolution, you had the what's called the Declaration of the Rights of Man, where it was the separation of church and state. So what you've seen then from the it was actually around, it took about 80 years to come into place, but you're seeing in the last two centuries, every government fall away, separate from the church and the state. And what you have there is, once the word follows the secular, they leave God. And what happens then is war, destruction, abortion, euthanasia, blah, 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 and all the spread of paganism coming back in. And when St. Patrick came to Ireland around about the 5th century, 400s, and in 433, he lit the flame in the Hull of Slane. And it's the history of St. Patrick. Everybody knows that he banished the snakes. Well, there was no snakes here because they just don't have the climate for it. But it was a symbolic sign for the pagan, the pagan druids and chieftains that St. Patrick fought. So when St. Patrick came here, he did an exorcism against paganism. Now, that spirit of paganism has returned tenfold. And now what these Eucharistic processions are doing are combating the spirit of paganism. Coupled with that, it's fighting the culture of death too as well, which is so self-prevalent throughout the whole world, So they're so, so important. Like, we can never sort of grasp or put into context the spiritual blessings that he's brought on a country for having a Eucharistic procession. But we can confirm that from the first procession. Now, the first procession was done by the Grey Friars a year before February. The significance of the first Eucharistic procession here in our hometown in Derry in the north of Ireland was that it was the first one in 400 years since the siege of Derry, since the English invaded Ireland and built the walls around our city and kicked all the Catholics and the priests and the nuns out, toppled all the churches, overtook all the churches, burnt all the church records. So for the last 400 years, that was the first Eucharistic procession to process through the center of our town, which was monumental. And as the procession was happening, I think it was even yourself or somebody else got word back from Marino Recepio, who said while he was watching the promo video and while he was watching the actual procession, he could see demons fleeing from Derry. And the procession on the way back looked like a victory march. It seems inconceivable and uncomprehendable for the human mind to grasp that. But it really makes you realize that the time that we're living in, of these and six, that we're not fighting against man, but flesh and blood, we're fighting against spirits and principalities. And that's the truth. Like, that's, the spirit of darkness is everywhere. But these Eucharistic processions are a message of love. They're a message of hope. They're a message of liberation. And in a time when the world is covered with so much darkness, there's so many people are crying out there, especially the youth are crying out for, but they've been afflicted with anxiety, drink, drugs, the internet. There's a multitude and a tributary of different avenues where people are being affected. And what we've seen, the fruits of these processions, is people now coming back to the faith. There's a real joy in our city. I'm not saying there wasn't a joy before, but there's a real joy now and enthusiasm in people now coming back to the faith. But equally, which is really, really important, is that a lot of men now are starting to are starting to come back to the faith and say, right, wait a moment here. I need to start taking my faith a wee bit seriously here. So that's another fruit from it. So it's absolutely beautiful. But you were present here. You flew over from America the last time in February, and you stayed for the weekend. It was a phenomenal weekend. And we got out for Sunday to break a bit of bread after it, and one wee pint of Guinness. It was excellent. So it was.
It was really incredible. You know, from my perspective, it was a little bit interesting because when I came, I thought, wow, these Irish are always having these things and processions. Everything must just be amazing. It's like I came in and got to see only all the good stuff. So it was hard for me to understand just how monumental it was, because to me, it just, that's all I saw. So it was so beautiful. And I thought, wow, it's like I want to live here because they have 5,000 people show up for a procession. It was hard to understand how much of a change that was from before for the people that have lived there and talked about. Like, I know we processed through areas where there had been the troubles and different persecutions. And sometimes you have to understand that whole history to know how much the Lord is doing, how much he's changing things.
Oh, definitely. Like, when you take a look at Ireland, you know, and especially Derry sort of got the brunt of most of the persecutions of the English, you know, with the siege of Derry in the 1600s, 1613. Then fast forward on the Bloody Sunday, which Bloody Sunday 1972, where 13 unarmed Catholics were shot by the British Army. But not only that too, as well, the detrimental effect that has had over not only just Ireland, over Derry, but over the whole of Ireland too, as well. But we have to take a step back and realize that this is all coming from Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist, to divide and conquer. And here's one for you. I don't think I've said it on your interview, but I might have said it on a previous interview. And I truly believe this is quite possible, is that St. Patrick gave this prophecy in 433 when he went to the Hall of Slain, and he went to the top of the Hall of Slain and he lit the flame. And that flame was a paschal flame that he lit. They call out to the pagan chieftains that he was coming to convert them. Now, the devil, he had a vision, a prophecy. He seen a vision that in the end times a flame would light from the north of Ireland. Sorry, from Ulster, where Derry, my hometown, is from. And so he said he seen embers lighting and a flame lighting from the north of Ireland and spreading throughout the whole of Ireland, onto the UK, then on throughout continental Europe and the whole world. Now, here's one for you. I think it's quite plausible. The devil can act on the spoken word. The devil can act on the spoken word. So the devil knew this prophecy that in the end times, a city from the north, and that city from the north was definitely Derry, because one, it was St. Patrick came here. Two, it was the land of St. Columb Kill, St. Columba. And also that Derry is built on the oldest monastic site. So from the 5th, 6th century right through, the devil did everything humanly, well, supernaturally possible, to cause as much pain to the north of Ireland, the divide between Catholics and Protestants. You know, and it was the devil that orchestrated this. And I think it was going on the back of the prophecy of St. Patrick. That's what I truthfully, honestly believe.
Wow. What are some of this procession in November? Where will it start? Where will it end? What are some of the goals and the things that you're hoping to happen after it or during it?
Well, we've already, Anthony, your good friend and my good friend, Anthony Hitch, me and Anthony, and we have a team now set up here now. In Derry, obviously, we've went to our local bishop, Bishop McCone, who is actually leading the procession, which is fantastic. You know, he's a phenomenal bishop. Father Antonio of the Grey Friars, Father Jared Mungan from the Long Tower, the Carmelites. We have a lot of the clergy involved now, and we have a lot of prayer groups. All St. Vincent de Paul, Legion of Mary, Holy Souls, Holy Face, HLI, Human Life, Precious Life. They have so many prayer groups are all coming, bringing all their banners. But the procession this year is a little bit different from the previous ones is that, first of all, we're starting off on Saturday the 22nd of November. We are starting off with a 24 hours adoration in a local Carmelite monastery. Funny that we speak about the Carmelite monastery, because now tonight here is now tomorrow morning is the feast of Saint Therese of Lisieux, and the eve is as important. So the Carmelites, we're starting off with 24 hours adoration in the Carmelite monastery. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, to 8 o'clock in the Sunday morning. Then at 12 o'clock, we are having High Mass, Holy Mass for the Feast of Christ the King in the Long Tower Chapel, which is known as St. Columba's Chapel in Derry, where the previous processions all came from. But there's also supposedly, allegedly, and apparently 16 to 19 saints buried there. And also Sister Claire Crockett, Servant of God, Claire Crockett, her body was buried there too as well. And apparently her body has now been moved to the city cemetery, but we've just been told that it's been moved back to the Long Tower, so, which is an amazing. So the procession is kicking off at 12 o'clock from the Long Tower, Holy Mass, benediction at 1 o'clock with the Bishop, Grey Friars, Carmelites, and hopefully the Benedictines, and Sister Claire Crockett's order. Hopefully we have the Children's Rosary, we have the Children of the Eucharist, we have, and then whatever, all the prayer groups of all their banners, processing through the centre of the town again, and then we are going to what's known as the Foyle River, where we are walking down the Foyle River. We have three boats organised. They take the clergy, the bishop and the clergy, on the three boats up and down the river, which will take about an hour. While that's happening, the people will all be standing at the side of the river praying the rosary. And then the boats are going under the three bridges to commemorate the three falls of Christ. But there's been a lot of suicides in our town and throughout the whole of Europe and throughout the whole of Ireland, but particularly Derry. There's a spread of unforgiveness over it from the Troubles, from the persecution, from the British Army. And there's been a lot of young people have committed suicide. So this is to commemorate all the holy souls of Ireland, but to commemorate every family which has been touched by suicide in Ireland and throughout the world. Also to honour Christ the King. They come off the boats, then they're processing over on the Ebrington Square, which is a big square in the city here, where we have a stage book, choir book. We're going to have benediction. We're going to have the Children's Rosary singing. We've actually got a song composed by a very good friend of ours, has composed a song for the procession, which is going to be recorded now and dropped on iTunes, Spotify, everything now within the next month. So it's a Eucharistic procession with the difference that it's going on the water. The last Eucharistic processions have all been on the land. Now it's time to cleanse the water.
That's amazing. I've been there several times in Derry, and for those that don't know, that there's a river right by it. You know, so I guess the city's like on both sides, and that's just a powerful thing, because from the river you can see kind of some of the main places in the city, kind of like the main city square. So that sounds like that is going to be something absolutely incredible.
And the good thing about this is too, as well, is that Anthony and myself, we sort of preempted this. We've been planning this for about 6 months now. And we started on the 15th of August, the Feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother. We contacted seven gairs around the world. We took that from the seven candlesticks from the Book of Revelations. And we contacted seven gairs, very, very holy, devout gairs. And they wear the veil. I mean, these gairs are saints. We contacted them and we asked them to start 100-day novena, praying two St. Gertrude prayers a day and a very special weapon prayer, which was given to a very chosen soul in France who was all about the kingship of Christ the King, just like Joan of Arc. So they've been praying that from the 15th of August, and it's a 100-day novena, the seven of them, and it ends on the Friday the 21st of November, which is the feast of the presentation of our Blessed Mother in the temple. And then just yesterday, being the the 29th of September, the Feast of the Archangel Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, we have just launched a nationwide, worldwide, 54-day novena to the nine choirs of angels. So this is a call out to any of your viewers now. It's only started yesterday. You can join in on a 54-day novena to the nine choirs of angels. For one, the success of the procession, the intentions of the procession, and for the protection of the procession. And it ends the exact same day, the 21st of the 21st of November. So we've covered it in prayer. We also have a few knighthoods praying for it. And we also have, now we have just, we're contacting every parish in Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, monasteries, Benedictine, Carmelites, Franciscans. And we've already, the promo video, which I would like you to show, if you want to show the promo video, Alvaro.
Yeah, let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and play that right now.
In February 2025, Derry, a small city in Ireland, took the world by storm by having the first worldwide Eucharistic procession on the Feast of St. Bridget. Over 5,000 devotees walked in unity in love for their Eucharistic King. Over 70 parishes across six continents joined in simultaneously in unity from Rome to Africa, Portugal to Australia, Canada to France. This truly was a first of its kind. Once again, Ireland is rising up and reclaiming their ancient title as guardians of the faith. In November 2025, Derry is once again launching the second worldwide Eucharistic procession on the 100th anniversary of the Qua Primus to honour Christ the King. This is a call out to all the clergy, to all the laity, to every Christian country in the world. This is your time. This is your chance to join in with us as we carry our Eucharistic King through the streets, to pass this Eucharistic flame of love, to pass this Eucharistic flame of hope. We are calling the four corners of Ireland to come to Derry. This is your time in history to stand up, to throw away the excuses, to cast off the chains of captivity. Our generations have been crippled with anxiety, with the internet, with mental health, with suicide. Join in this universal Eucharistic procession being led by our Bishop, Bishop Donal McCrone. All you have to do is email christtheking100@gmail.com. Ask your clergy to join in unity as we spread this Eucharistic flame of love from nation to nation, city to city, from heart to heart. Saint Francis appeared to Carlos Acutis' mother in a dream and said to her, "Your son, after his canonization, God will fulfill all prophecy and send forth the Holy Spirit over the face of the earth and touch every teenager through the sanctifying grace." So this is a call to the youth of Ireland, to the youth of Christendom. This is your chance now to join in throughout the world. God bless you. God bless your family, God bless Ireland, and God bless the whole of Christendom. This is our time, and this is your chance and your opportunity. Ave Maria.
That's powerful, and I think what a beautiful thing is to be able to get the support of the bishop, to have him not only support it, but then also be the one that will lead the procession this time.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, we wouldn't do nothing without church approval, because it brings down spiritual, one, you've spiritual authority, but two, it brings down spiritual graces, superabundant graces on the actual event and everything that it entails. Now, that the promo video sort of covers everything we've talked about. I'm going to see the Archbishop Eamon Martin, who is a phenomenal, the primate of all Ireland, who just, an hour fruit from the Eucharistic procession from the last couple of Eucharistic processions in Ireland, is that our Archbishop, Primate of all Ireland, on the Feast of Corpus Christi, reconsecrated Ireland to the Sacred Heart. That was massive. And we're just setting up a meeting with him to get his blessing. They want to get his blessing because he blessed the last one too as well, you know. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to get as many clergy involved. We're trying to light as many flames around the world. The last one I say in February was in 70 parishes across 6 continents. That was Major Groy, Mexico, Guadalupe, all around the world. This one now, we're starting to get emails on. We're starting to get emails on from all over the world. The reason being why is that we got that promo video there, 3-minute promo video. We got it translated on the Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, German, Albanian, Hungarian. What else? Boom. What other languages is there? Dutch. Yeah. We're waiting on. Let me just see. Spanish, Portuguese, French, German, Italian, Dutch, Hungarian, Polish. We're waiting. Albanian. We're waiting on Mandarin coming back. So yeah. I think by Monday we will have it translated on the roughly about 10 different languages. Yeah. And we didn't do that last year and it ended up in 70 parishes. And no, I know it's not about numbers, but it's always great to see big crowds getting involved because you know it's been fruitful. But yeah. Especially for honoring Christ the King. But the reason why I did that is EWTN, a friend contact of ours in EWTN said, "Look, Baz, if you get this translated on the a couple of languages, which we had, I'll send it to REWTN Worldwide News and distribute it throughout all the appropriate countries." So, you know, we'll need a secretary, Buzzy.
So that is amazing. You know, that hopefully it'll be in even more corners of the world that it wasn't before, and that the ones that did it before will hear this and be excited and want to join again.
Yeah, we just heard there, I think it was Alaska now, just came on board. Australia's on board, America, Canada, England, Scotland, France, Portugal, Spain, at the moment. And I guess it's only, we launched it there. We're doing everything on feast days of Our Lady. We launched it on Our Lady's birthday, the 8th of September. You know, and then it ends with the novenas and everything on the feast day of Our Lady. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ the King, you know. But a really big focus that we've had this year. Now, we did in February have a big focus on it. We went to the schools and got all the local schools. They send 20 school children, each from each school in their uniform. Now, this time, we have a poster done, which you could probably show at the end of it. The black poster, which is a generic poster for all the churches, but we have now another poster designed with Carlos Acutis on it and mm-hmm. Sister Claire, Servant of God Claire Crawford. The reason being why is that we launched this on Sunday, the 8th of September. Carlos Acutis was canonized the day before on the Sunday. And the mm-hmm. prophecy, as you've seen there of St. Francis of Assisi, the Carlos Acutis' mother, is that after his canonization, God will fulfill all prophecy. That's mind-blowing. And we are in contact at the present moment in time with a few friends. Now, I know you've met Carlos Acutis' mother, but we have just been given Carlos Acutis as the translator, the priest, and a very, very good friend of the Muller's number, which I have to contact tomorrow. We're going to invite Carlos Acutis' mother over to Derry.
Wow. That would be amazing, you know, because she'll obviously be present as well as possibly having one of his relics there, among other things.
We have the relic, and not only that too as well, we also have Servant of God Claire Crockett, her sister's prayer group's going to be there, and I was just thinking, to have them two on the stage would be phenomenal. Because I don't know why. I was speaking to Anthony today, and me and Anthony were chatting, and I said, wouldn't it be amazing if Claire Crockett's body was found uncorrupt?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be? No, hey,
that would be.
What is to say?
Yeah, I mean, that would be as much as a gift that St. Carlo Acutis has been for, I'm sure there in Italy and just for the whole world, but especially to have, because a lot of the Irish saints are from a long time ago, you know. I know there's been other holy men and women, but especially to have a recent one from Derry is such a powerful spiritual gift.
Oh, definitely. Well, if you Ireland has more saints than any other country in the world. And the sad thing about it is just what that statement which you made there saying, you know, our Irish saints are from a long time ago. In one way, that's true. But the truth and reality of it is that the British burnt all the records. There's more saints in Ireland per capita than anywhere else in the world. There's more saints in Ireland that give their life up during the famine rather than denounce the faith. And if you take a look at the title here, Guardians of the Faith, Anthony and myself have just set up a new YouTube channel called Guardians of the Faith. And that name comes from Ireland. The Irish were called Guardians of the Faith because after St. Patrick and then the apostles that came after St. Patrick, St. Columba in the 6th century, and then St. Simon, St. Fulton, St. Aidan, St. Cairns, St. Declan, St. Brennan, St. Bernard of Clonfert, all the Irish saints, all went to Clonmacnoise. They learned to be schooled. But also during the Dark Ages, during the invasions, the Irish monks took the manuscripts into the monasteries and copied them by candlelight and preserved them. And this is why Ireland got the name Guardians of the Faith. Because Ireland was the first country in the world, we've got the apostolic line, the apostles, etc. But Ireland becoming one of the first Christian countries in the world, it's always been debated between France. France was 496 with the conversion of King Clovis. And Ecuador, there's a dispute between the three of them to see who was the first, but France has claimed it. But the truth is that France is known as eldest daughter of the church, but Ireland is known as guardians of the faith, eldest son of the church. Well, the kings of France were known as the eldest sons of the church because they were the kings that protected the throne, that protected the altar. But Ireland was known as guardians of the faith because they preserved and protected the manuscripts. And this is why Anthony and myself have called our YouTube channel now Guardians of the Faith. We're going to ask as many people as possible to like, subscribe, and share and all that jazz. But that is such an ancient, Celtic, beautiful, beautiful title that Ireland has. And Ireland was then about missionized the whole world, you know, through the likes of the Irish saints going to St. Columba, going to Scotland, going to Europe, and then you have the Latter-day Saints, like St. Benedict, who all got their missionary zeal from the Irish. And that was made that was confirmed to us by Pope John Paul, because whenever Pope John Paul came to Ireland in 1979 on his papal visit to Ireland, he visited the Knock Shrine, the most biblical apparition in the world. He stopped at Clonmacnoise. He came for the 100th anniversary of the centenary of the Knock apparition, which was 1879. When he came here, he stopped at Clonmacnoise, and he asked specifically, they stop at Clonmacnoise, where all the Irish saints learnt their trade. And he said, he made a very prophetic statement. He said, these stones still have a very important mission to play. Now, that was only in 1979, but he also said that the monks from Clonmacnoise travelled to Poland and missionized Poland, and it was through that missionary work that the Irish did is why he got his faith. You see the way God works? It's like a circle, a spiritual circle coming to fruition. And so the Irish have this title as Guardians of the Faith, and Ireland has lost its faith. Somebody said they've lost their song. They have lost their song a bit. It has lost their faith a bit, but it'll never go out. And it's back. It's coming back. It's coming back. And this is going to spread now throughout the whole world.
That's awesome. I think it's a powerful time when so many different things are happening. So I think this is providential in when it's happening in the world history with all these things. I mean, not to mention, you know, Charlie Kirk and a whole other host of things, the canonization of St. Carlo. So I really hope that all that the Holy Spirit is doing everywhere and in other places, things we don't even know of, that this is going to be something to really light the fire of faith in so many places.
The word, but doesn't Alvaro, definitely the word badly needs it. Like when I seen Charlie Kirk getting shot, you know, they assassinated Martin Luther King, they assassinated JFK, they assassinated Charlie Kirk. Why? Because he spoke the truth, he spoke the gospel. And the scripture tells us, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, our Lord says to him, about the seven seals, seal up the scrolls and put them in your mouth. And they will be like honey in your mouth and bitter in your stomach. And the reason being why is when you speak the truth, it's like honey to people's ears. It's like honey from your tongue. But for those people that don't want to hear it, are incapable of hearing it, are in spiritual darkness, that are incapable of hearing the truth, it's bitter on their stomach, and it, because it discomforts them. And that's just why in this time now, this era that we live on now, this secular pagan era that we live on, when you see people like Charlie Kirk being assassinated for speaking the truth, and then you see the likes of the Democrats won't even give him a minute's silence, it's absolutely disgusting. You know, the value, the culture of death and the value on human life is getting more and more less frequent, we could say. But this procession is really a procession of hope. It's a procession of love, and we have got the likes of Mark McLean flying in, and we're hoping that you're flying in. We have EW, we have all the local, like, sort of radio stations. EWTN will be covering, we'll be sending them all the footage. Shalom TV, Robert Nugent's coming up with the men's rosary. So the men's rosary is coming up to Derry on the Saturday when we're doing the adoration for 3 hours adoration, and the men's rosary, which is always a powerful sign. We have a lot of the prayer groups throughout Ireland already organizing buses to come up. Legion of Mary, St. Vincent de Paul. We had a meeting here tonight, and they're all bringing, we're ordering 20,000, we got 40,000 Benedictine medals, 20,000 prayer cards, St. Curtis de Cudis, 7 o'clock, Claire Crockett. We're getting miraculous medals. It's a day of joy, it's a day of liberation, and it's a day of healing. But it's a global day of celebration, and we're calling every clergy around the world. There's no excuse. It's a Sunday. You can either have a Eucharistic procession or join in with adoration, Holy Mass, or rosaries. Or for those people that are in the house that can't, you know, they can't leave the house. One of the reasons we've set up this, YouTube channel is that we might stream it live. If you're over, you can stream it. Mark McLean can stream it. Robert Newsom can stream it. All the different networks, we're trying to get them to stream it for the people that can't leave the house. This is around the world. But this is really a call out to the children. And I think it's so prevalent that in God's timing, and one and being this being a Jubilee year, and I think it's really an anointed and appointed year. It's the 100th anniversary of Christ the King. It's the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, which is tomorrow. And there's so many contributing factors all aligning in this, and in Ireland being reconsecrated to the Sacred Heart. But not only is it a call to Christendom, it's a call to as well to the youth. This is what you're looking for. You know, so many children are lost, and, you know, they're searching. They don't know what they're searching for. This is the light. And this is a call to the men, that the men of Ireland now and the men of Christendom around the world really need to stand up and take stock. And I mean this sincerely. You know, I'm not preaching to anybody. I was away from the faith for a long time. I was blinded. But thank God now I've seen the light. It took me a long time, that is. But I'm back. But like the prodigal son, they say. But this is it. To every father out there, this is your opportunity now to look after your children. They leave a legacy. They bring your children back to God. So this is a call out to the whole world. It's time to stand up and recognize, as the rest of the world shouts out and says, no king but Caesar. Ireland, guardians of the faith are back, and we're standing up and we're saying, there's only one king, and that king is Christ the King.
Amen. I think, Barry, these are really exciting times, and I hope that everyone that hears this is able either to participate virtually in some way or to have their own either procession or Eucharistic adoration in their home parishes. So I think for them to, you have the email. I'll put the email here for you to contact us or to have your clergy contact, because I think that would be a way of spreading that fire. Every time you have Eucharistic adoration, you know, we've talked here about some of the fruits, but it changes people in their hearts and their souls. It increases the faith. It casts out evil from wherever you do it. So I think it's time for all this to happen. And I think it's an exciting time for all of us.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Look, listen, the Irish is back. Guardians of the Faith, watch out for this channel, because this channel is going to grow, Guardians of the Faith. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be shared around the world, and it's going to be a YouTube, a channel with all the videos, all the procession. It's a YouTube channel of hope and of light and of love. And forget about all the doom and gloom. There's enough doom and gloom in the world. It's time for us to stand up with joy and love in our heart and profess the gospel and march forward for Christ the King. Avril, get your behind over here, bro. You're coming over. We know you're coming over. Me and Anthony were chatting today. Avril has to come back.
We will find a way. If there's an empty seat on a plane, I'll get myself there somehow.
Definitely. That's an Avril.
Awesome.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so, so, so much. You can put up the poster at the end there too as well, the details. And give my love to Rachel and the kids, brother. And we'll speak over the next few weeks, but get your behind the dairy.
Okay, awesome. Well, to everyone listening, God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.
God bless, brother.